Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/ontheclock. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. So go to audibletrial.com/ontheclock.
Time to get this party started. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger, only on the Lineup Media Group Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the You're on the Clock podcast, where we win fantasy football playoff games by 1 point. My name is Matt Geiger. Joining me, as always, in studio is Iron Mike. What's going on, man?
I didn't win by 1 point. I just won.
We're coming at you live early Tuesday morning at 1:30 a.m. after a exciting Monday Night Football game.
Sure.
Joining us in studio today is the youngest of the Geiger clan, Jess Geiger. Say something, Jess. I don't know if you picked that up. On today's show, we're going to...
Was that a meow?
It was. Yeah. Right, meow. Dropping some Super Troopers knowledge on you guys. On today's episode, we are going to talk about our normal injuries, news, and notes. We are going to talk about giving footballs away to fans, the hot ending to the season by Russell Wilson, as well as some major playoff implications for week 15. So let's jump into it right now. Before we get started today, I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody over at the You Know What Dude podcast. Bobby and the guys over there had me on the show today for their Christmas episode, so make sure you guys check that out. You can find them on YouTube at YKWD podcast, as well as iTunes and any other place you can get a podcast. I had a real great time over there. I had a lot of fun, and they showed me a ton of love, so make sure you guys go check them out. With that said, we are not going to do fantasy gold or garbage this week. It's the playoffs. You're starting your studs. And, I mean, that's pretty much that. So let's jump right into the news, injuries, and updates. Biggest news of the week comes from Cincinnati, where Andy Dalton does not need any surgery on his thumb. It is possible that he could return for the last regular season game in Week 17. Running back Todd Gurley from the St. Louis Rams has no substantial injury to his knee. He was limited in practice on Monday, but it's a good sign that he was out there on the first day of practice. But just keep an eye on him if you have him for your fantasy lineup. He could see a decreased role, so just make sure you keep checking his status to see if he's going to be 100%. Quarterback Andrew Luck of the Indianapolis Colts might not play another game in 2015. This is big because Matt Hasselbeck got injured in the game against the Jaguars.
Yep.
In week 14. He sustained a rib injury. That could be big because you could potentially be looking at a playoff game or a game with playoff implications that could feature TJ Yates against Charlie Whitehurst. And that's just terrible, if you ask me. Anything to add to that, Mike?
No.
All right, let's jump to the next bit of news. Cornerback Joe Hayden of the Cleveland Browns has been placed on the IR with a concussion. Apparently, he's been showing consistent signs of lingering concussion and couldn't come off the protocol list. So he is done for the season, although, you know, there's only 2 games left.
I'm going to stop you. I would say don't count out Jacksonville. You know, yeah, they're only a game behind, so obviously they're not counted out. But with Hoyer going through concussion protocol again this week and Hasselbeck injured and Luck maybe not playing again this year, kind of opens up the door for Jacksonville.
I'm going to pull up the schedule real quick. Who are they playing week 15?
Who?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, week 15, plays Atlanta.
So that's a winnable game based on how Atlanta's been playing.
Atlanta's been playing awful.
Week 16, they play New Orleans, who, you know, is hit or miss.
Where is it?
It's in New Orleans. And then week 17, they play at Houston. So week 17 could be a deciding game for the division.
Yeah.
Also, just to note, that week, Indy plays Tennessee. So, you know, it could come down to the last week of the season, not only for the AFC South, but also for the NFC East. And I will note, I don't remember where I saw this today, but I think it's like the first time in NFL history where a team, and that team being the Dallas Cowboys, after week 14, has a chance to win the division and also has a chance to wind up with the first overall draft pick this late in the season, which is insane. And there's like a 0.001% chance that they could win the division and still wind up with the first overall draft pick. Like, it's very unlikely, but there is a possibility that that could happen.
Odd.
Let's jump back into it. Where are we at? The Baltimore Ravens have signed Ryan Mallett after obviously losing Joe Flacco for the year. Matt Schaub sustained a chest injury, so his status is up in the air for week 15. Mallett last played with the Texans this year. So now they have two Texans, former Texans quarterbacks on their roster. Running back Carlos Williams is day-to-day with a shoulder injury, and tight end Charles Clay is day-to-day with a back injury out of Buffalo. They're still in the playoff hunt, so those two injuries could be key injuries for them. Coming out of Chicago, safety Antrell Roll is out for the season with a sprained MCL. Update on Tyler Eifert. He's going through concussion protocol after sustaining a concussion against the Steelers. Keep an eye out on that. I know a lot of guys probably have him as their starter in a lot of fantasy football playoff games this week. So make plans without him. Let's see. Cornerback Sam Shields of the Green Bay Packers suffered a concussion. He'll go through the concussion protocol. Jacksonville running back TJ Yeldon has a sprained knee. His status is up in the air. Once again, it's still very early in the week, so you should get more news on that. But I will note, Denard Robinson had 75 rushing yards and a touchdown in relief for TJ Yeldon, and I think it was all in the second half, which is insane. Jacksonville had 9 points in the first half, and they finished with 51.
That's 42 second-half points, Matt.
Yeah, I couldn't have done that math. Running back Spencer Ware from the Kansas City Chiefs had x-rays done on his ribs. They came back negative, but he's still his status is still up in the air. I think there was a quote saying that he was bruised and in pain. So that's never a good thing, especially for running back, because you're taking a lot of hits. Who's that? D. Smith.
Jets.
Oh, Jets wide receiver. I'm an idiot. Jets receiver Devin Smith has a torn ACL. He's done for the year. That's really unfortunate because he was starting to quietly put together a decent rookie year. And to tear your ACL this far into the season means he might miss time at the beginning of next season.
Yeah.
So best of luck to Devin Smith. I liked him coming out of college. I thought it was a good pickup for the Jets. It's an added deep threat. It puts more weapons on the offense. I'm not reading that, by the way. The next piece.
It's not the first time you would say faggot on the fucking
show. I've never said faggot. Well, yeah. All right. First time for everything. Seattle Seahawks running back Thomas Rawls has a broken ankle. He's out for the rest of the season. That inevitably led to the Seattle Seahawks re-signing running back Bryce Brown. I think the only two healthy running backs they have now are Fred Jackson and Bryce Brown. So, I mean, while we're talking about the Seahawks, you want to jump into one of our points that we're going to talk about today?
Well, why don't you throw in Cam Chancellor?
Really? Oh, yeah, okay. So Seattle's safety Cam Chancellor has a tailbone injury. His status is uncertain. I don't know. You know, one of the best safeties in the league, so that could have a huge impact. And we saw how bad Seattle's defense was playing in the beginning of the year without him when he was sitting out or holding out because of a contract issue. So keep an eye out on that. But that brings us to a point that we wanted to talk about, and that's how good Russell Wilson has been playing over the last few weeks. Do you have stats pulled up on him, Mike? No. All right. Here's what I will say. Over the last 3 weeks, he's been performing very well. He had 5 touchdowns on Sunday, but he's connected with Doug Baldwin on 8 touchdowns in 3 games. So Doug Baldwin has a game of 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, and then 3 touchdowns this week. I mean, he's playing out of his mind right now, Russell Wilson, and he's doing it inside of the pocket. He hasn't really been using his legs a lot. His rushing numbers are still there, but
I don't think he has a rushing touchdown yet this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Look it up. I don't see anything. Anyway, getting back to performance on the field, he's doing it without Marshawn Lynch. He's doing it without Jimmy Graham, and he's doing it with, one of the weaker receiving corps in the league. They're proving to be not as weak as we thought they were. You know, Lockett's been having some big games. Obviously, like we said, Doug Baldwin's having big games. But then you have guys like Jermaine Kearse who's coming out and really, having an impact on the game. And I think what it comes down to is Russell Wilson's more comfortable playing from the pocket and relying less on his running game to do things. Because now Rawls is out and Lynch is out. They might not have a running game. No. He might have to throw the ball 40 times. He might rush the ball 10, 12 times a game now. So, what do you have? Does he have any rushing touchdowns?
Yeah, he had one against Minnesota.
One rushing touchdown. That's insane. Yes, what he had last year? I think he had like 4 or 5 last year.
Yeah. You know, a lot of fantasy owners were counting on those rushing stats.
I actually kept Russell Wilson in our home league, and I literally didn't start him one single game this year. Because I had Matt Ryan, and then because neither one of them were playing well, I picked up Blake Bortles. But he was very disappointing in the beginning of the year. I don't think he had a game where he broke 20 points until at least halfway through the season. Did he have a game where he threw for like more than 250 yards through the first 8 games?
Yeah, the first week. 251.
But yeah, listen, not only is Russell Wilson playing well, but the defense is playing good and they're red hot right now. And they're right in the mix for the wild card spot.
Yeah.
So, keep an eye out on Seattle to possibly bring some...
They still have a shot at winning the division. And they've won 4 of their last 5. They've won their last 4, actually. Do you have the rest of their schedule?
Yeah, let me pull it up right now. Seattle's 8-5. There's a few other teams that are in contention for the wild card. They close out the season with Cleveland this week, then St. Louis, and then Arizona. So, they might be able to get into the playoffs at 10-6.
Who's Arizona's next 2 games? Is that last game going to matter?
I think it's against St. Louis.
I know Arizona plays Green Bay once.
So Arizona's 11-2. They close out with Philly this week, Green Bay, and then Seattle. So that's a pretty hard schedule to close the season out on.
Yeah.
But 2 out of the 3 are at home for Arizona. So that could have a big implication for them. And they're not playing Green Bay in Lambeau, which is huge for them.
You see that?
Oh, wow.
Dwight Freeney's game-saving sack last week earned him $200,000.
I guess it was a roster bonus?
Yeah, it's part of his contract this year. Yep.
When Freeney reached 4 sacks, which he did on Thursday night, he earned a $200,000 bonus. You know what I would do for $200,000? A lot less than tackle a guy.
Yeah.
A lot more than tackle a guy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's jump back into some... we have 2 or 3 more quick notes we want to go over. Running back Carlos Hyde from the San Francisco 49ers has finally been placed on the IR with a fractured foot. And wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Vincent Jackson, has a sprained MCL. He is done, likely done for the rest of the year. if they do grab a wild card spot, you could see him in the playoffs. But the way it looks right now, he's probably done for the year.
They're two games back on Minnesota and Seattle. Right now, Seattle's the 5 seed. Minnesota's the 6. But Tampa Bay's 2 games back. They would need some help from other teams, and they would have to most likely win out.
All right, so that brings us to one story that we did want to touch upon, and we don't usually talk about the off-the-field stuff, but this is something unique, and it doesn't have anything to do with off-the-field implications as much as it does being fined or certain rules that the NFL has in place, and that's the fact that NFL...
Yeah, but this is on the field. It's not off the field.
That's true. The NFL came out and said that Cam Newton is not getting fined for giving... football's a way to kids in the stands after the offense scores a touchdown. It's part of a charity that the whole team is doing where they're giving away footballs and they're actually donating money to charity as well. The initial report was that players were getting fined, what was it, $5,800 for throwing a ball into the stands or for giving a ball away?
Which is fucking peanuts to these guys.
Right. But a guy, I mean, like a guy like Jordan Matthews who's still on a rookie contract.
I don't care. If I was scoring touchdowns, I'd do it anyway.
Just I'd be punting principle. Balls into yeah. the fucking stands. But so the case against Cam Newton was that as soon as a ball goes into the stands, a player should get fined. But the rules in the NFL rule book state that you can specifically hand a ball to a fan.
To a certain fan.
It's when you throw the ball into the stands that it becomes illegal because the NFL is worried about the safety of fans and they don't want fans fighting over a ball that gets thrown into the stands. So what Cam Newton and the rest of the offense is doing is when they score, they're physically handing a ball to one fan that I guess, you know, as they're running towards the stands, they'll see a kid and they'll hand it to him. And I've seen specific instances where other people go to reach for the ball and Cam has been pulling the ball back, and he won't, you know, let it go until the kid he wants to give it to gets the ball. I think this is good for the NFL, honestly.
Well, yeah, you know.
Out of all the bullshit that's been going on in the NFL the last few years, this is something good to come out of it.
When you're giving it to a child, you know, that's going to change his life, you know, because that's like a life-changing thing right there.
Right, that giving a fan a football...
He'll forever idolize...
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Or whoever's giving him the ball.
And he'll forever remember that moment, and his love for football is just magnified.
Right, and that was going to be my point, because Cam Newton giving that kid a football could spark a kid's interest into getting into football a lot more than they were. You know, they might just be, you know, playing pickup football with their friends. Maybe they start playing Pop Warner, and that could... eventually lead to a kid, you know, possibly getting a scholarship in college or, you know, at the next step, getting drafted into the NFL. And, you know, 10, 15 years from now, you could see a video of Cam Newton giving this kid a ball and then he's getting drafted, you know?
Yeah.
It's a feel-good kind of story. It, you know, with all the shit going on in the NFL with, you know, fucking... players failing drug tests or getting shot in the fucking head or hitting fucking kids or beating their wives, whatever the fuck it is, Cam Newton's doing it the right way. You know, he's making sure that he's performing on the field. Obviously, they're undefeated, but he's having fun with it too. And he's making a kid's day in the stands, you know? So we just wanted to bring that up because there was a lot of rumors going around that Cam Newton was getting fined, you know, almost $6,000 for every ball that he gave away.
Which I'm sure if he was, he wouldn't care.
Right. I mean, he's on like a $100 million contract, so.
Yeah. Plus endorsements.
Yeah, he's Under Armour, yogurt.
I'm trying to think.
He might be the only player in the NFL to be endorsed by yogurt.
Maybe. But there was a time where players would give away footballs to adults. You know, I remember Terrell Owens doing it years back.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, him too, maybe. You know,
king of the touchdown dance.
I heard that Owens used to give it to his agent or something, and it was part of his gimmick with his touchdown dances or whatever. But, you know, if players were to do that now, it's kind of kind of weak, no?
Yeah, it's done already. It's been done.
Yeah.
Like, giving a ball to a kid.
I remember earlier in the year, it was in the Superdome. It was a New Orleans Saints game, and I forget who the player was. He went to go give the woman the ball, and the man sitting next to her, the ball was thrown. The man sitting next to her reached over and stole the ball from him, and they kept just the camera on that guy, and you could see, like...
just to show how big of a dick he was?
Yeah, yeah. You could see, like, the hidden shame in this guy's face, you know, because he's a douche.
He's a piece of shit that stole a ball from a chick.
And he didn't give it back.
Real quick, that's going to do it for the injuries, news, and notes. But I do want to note, great game on Monday Night Football, you know, after seeing a bunch of stinkers. New York Giants 31, Miami Dolphins 24. It was pretty close. And
they went back and forth for a while.
I won my fantasy football playoff game this week by 1 point. I was literally tied going into the final Giants drive. It came down to that third down conversion where Odell Beckham caught the ball that got, and then it got challenged. Had he not caught that ball,
I don't think that was a catch.
Had he not, it was, I was tied at 142 going into that catch. Had he not caught that ball, they either would have had an opportunity to kick a field goal, which would have gave me the loss, or it would have ended in a tie, and it would have went down to, I think it was points scored by a kicker, which I would have won because I had Blair Walsh this week, and he had 11 points. But
I don't think that was a catch.
I don't care if it was a catch anymore. Odell Beckham finished 7 receptions, 166 yards, and 2 touchdowns. EY had a really good game, 27-31, 337, 4 touchdowns. I don't think he threw a pick.
He didn't have many incompletions, right?
27-31, that's 4 incompletions. Right. And then on Miami's side, Lamar Miller, 89 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he had a pretty good game, too. I'm sure there was a ton of fantasy games that were swayed by this.
Always is.
But, you know, coming as close as I did, I was shitting bricks watching the end of that game. So, all right, that's going to do it for injuries, news, and notes. We are now going to go over our week 15 picks. And while we're doing that, we're just going to note some of these games have real playoff implications. How many do we highlight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 games could make or break a team's playoff hopes this week. And we don't have standings from last week, do we? No, it's not that important. So let's jump right into week 15.
We will have a total by the end of the year.
Let's jump right into week 15, Mike.
Thursday night football. Tampa Bay at St. Louis.
The what are they calling those? The color run jerseys?
Yeah.
It's Team Heinz Ketchup versus Team French's Mustard.
It's awful.
The jerseys look terrible. And St. Louis's jerseys look like West Virginia University's jerseys, which makes it even worse. I don't know, man. St. Louis did look all right. I think maybe this might depend on whether or not Gurley's 100% healthy. Go ahead.
No. Keep going.
Okay. I think I might take St. Louis on this one, and I don't want to, but I'm going to. All right, Mike, so I'm taking St. Louis. Who are you going to take?
I've liked Tampa Bay this year a lot. I've picked them a lot, but with Jackson most likely not playing this week or again this season, I think that works to St. Louis's advantage. They shut down Calvin Johnson last week.
So that's Vincent Jackson. Obviously, we talked about him in the injury report.
What did I say?
You said Jackson.
Oh.
But yeah... without Janoris Jenkins, the Rams held Calvin Johnson to, I think, just one catch, and that was huge. I mean, Golden Tate had a big game, but that's what Mike's referring to, is that with Jackson being out, they're going to rely heavily on Evans. And if
who hasn't really been reliable. He's been very inconsistent.
And E.J. Gaines is probably going to be the one covering Evans, and he did a very good job against Calvin. But that would mean Vincent Jackson would get the number 2, and Golden Tate had a huge game. against the Rams last week. So
it's a tough matchup for the running backs for St. Louis, but if they can get the running game going, I think that they can win this game at home.
So we're both going to take St. Louis on that one. Let's jump to Saturday night football.
8:20.
The New York Jets at kind of America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, who we stated earlier could have the first overall draft pick or could win the division at this point. I don't know if they can win the division now with Washington, Philly, and the Giants winning this week. But listen, New York's been on a hot streak. The offense looks good. The defense is playing well. Did Revis play this week?
Yes.
And so they're pretty healthy. I'm gonna take the Jets. I don't think Dallas has anything left.
I'm also gonna take the Jets. One thing about this game, which is a huge, the Jets need to win, is because with Andy Dalton being injured for potentially the rest of the season,
regular season.
This opens up another opportunity for the Jets to make the playoffs, because right now they're tied in with 8-5 records with Kansas City and Pittsburgh.
But they actually own the second wild card spot.
They do.
Over Pittsburgh.
Yes, but now with Cincinnati, without Andy Dalton, the Jets have another opportunity to get into the playoffs. Right.
A scenario opens up where if Cincinnati loses out for the season, Pittsburgh wins the season, Pittsburgh would win the division, and that would slide Cincinnati to contention for the wild card spot, but I think the Jets would take the wild card over them. And the Jets still have a chance to win 11 games. So they would have one game over Cincy if Cincy lost outright.
And the Jets play New England next week, so
that's a huge game.
You know how that's going to turn out. Yeah. So this game this Saturday night is very important for the Jets. They can't lose.
Oddly enough, we're both taking the Jets here, so we both have the same picks on two this week. Right off the bat, what's the next game, Mike?
Next game is Chicago at Minnesota. Another huge playoff implication here. Right now, Minnesota has the 6th seed because Seattle has the 5. They have the same record, but Seattle has the head-to-head tiebreaker over them. At this point, Minnesota's best shot at getting in is winning the division.
Yeah, and I mean, the way Green Bay's been playing,
even though the next closest team for the wild card in the NFC is Tampa Bay, right? With 6 wins.
Hold on, I'll pull up the conferences.
Tampa Bay and Atlanta, both with 6 wins.
Right. Minnesota owns the
6.
1, 2, 3. Who's the
Because the NFC East gets the 4 seed automatically.
So Seattle would be the first wild card, Minnesota would be the second wild card.
Yep.
This late in the season, obviously throughout the whole season, but anything can happen right now, and it could majorly affect the playoffs. This is when, you know, the teams who are out of the playoffs are playing spoiler, and they play out of their minds football, you know?
Because they're playing for pride right now.
A
team like Chicago, a team like New Orleans, who, you know, everybody was kind of writing off, and they are kind of written off as far as playoff hopes are, but with a new defensive coordinator now, they're going to start planning and playing for next year.
Minnesota plays Chicago this week, then they play at New York Giants. I think that's a Sunday night game.
Yes.
And then they play at the Packers. So Minnesota's got a tough road.
And there's a chance that Minnesota plays the Packers back-to-back weeks.
Right.
Week 17 and then
the first round of the playoffs. Weekend,
yep.
And week 17 could be the make or break for whether or not Minnesota gets into the playoffs. You know, because it could be if they win, they win the division. If they lose, they're out of the wild card. You know, it could come down to something like that.
If Tampa and Atlanta win.
Right. There's so many scenarios on the table right now, but this is really when the playoff implications really start taking shape.
Yeah, if they can beat Chicago this weekend, then they're really helping themselves out, you know. getting a playoff spot.
We're both taking Minnesota here. I think Peterson has a huge game. Chicago's run defense has been okay, but they haven't really shown enough.
Tough matchup for both running backs if you're looking at fantasy.
And all it takes is, you know, one or two big plays for Adrian Peterson to fucking make an impact on the game. So we're both going to take Minnesota there. Next 1 o'clock game is
Atlanta at Jacksonville.
This is another game with playoff implications because Jacksonville is only a game out of their division. And the way Atlanta's been playing, they got shut out by Carolina this past week. And, you know, virtually no running game as of right now.
I believe they're on a 5-game losing streak, losing 6 of their last 7.
Yeah, it's insane. The way they were playing at the beginning of the year is nothing like the way they're playing now.
And they can still turn it around and make the playoffs.
Potentially grab the wild card. Yeah. Matt Ryan is playing pretty inconsistent. I think he's had like 2 turnovers in like the last 4 or 5 games. If Jacksonville's defense could step it up, I think this could be one that they could steal. I'm going to take Jacksonville. I like the way the offense has been playing. Mike's taking Jacksonville as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jacksonville. Matt Ryan outside has just been awful this year.
Even if Yeldon doesn't play in this game, I still think that Denard Robinson's a good option. They will pass more, but Robinson does a good job of catching the ball out of the backfield, and he can make guys miss. You know, Shoestrings wasn't just a good college player. He's showing that he could be a decent running back in the NFL. So
I heard somebody say Jacksonville was running up the score last weekend on Indy.
They had 9 points in the first half. They finished with 51. We talked about that earlier. Who was it?
Going into the game, Indy had won something like 11 or 12 straight division games. So when something like this happens, you know,
you got to rub it in.
Yeah, you kind of do.
Allen Robinson had a crazy double move in the red zone, lost 2 defenders, made them all look stupid. It was his only catch of the game, and it was for a touchdown. Hearns had a huge game. And
he only had 2 catches.
Who?
Hearns.
Yeah, but they were both for touchdowns, I think.
One was for a touchdown.
But, I mean, they were big, huge plays. And you're seeing other guys really start to pick up in that offense as well. Julius Thomas is starting to show up. Bortles is starting to rely more on the tight end. And some of the more unknown receivers, Marquise Lee,
Brian Walters. They're all
producing.
They're going to need.
And the running game hasn't been terrible.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, through like the first 10 games of the year, they weren't using Yeldon in the goal line packages. They were using Denard Robinson. So
and Toby Gerhardt.
Yeah. So they're starting to figure out what's working in Jacksonville. And, you know, looking past this season, I think Jacksonville could be a team on the up and up. They need a little bit more work on their defense.
Yeah, well, if you go
possibly
back
to on the offensive line.
If you go, offensive line, surprisingly, last year was good. Because if you go back to last year, Jacksonville averaged the most yards per carry.
But I think it's because they were playing from behind so much that they weren't running the ball as often as some of the other teams. So that could have an effect on it. But they're on the upswing, so that's going to be a team you're going to want to keep an eye out on for not only for the rest of this year, but looking into next year as well.
Yeah, Atlanta's got a shot at stealing a wild card game, and Jacksonville has a shot to tie it up in the AFC South.
Let's jump to the next game, which is another game with huge playoff implications that we didn't highlight.
Yeah, Houston at Indy. The winner of this
is in control of the division.
Yep.
And it's worth noting that this could be a game where you see T.J. Yates versus Charlie Whitehurst at quarterback. If that's the case, then this is going to be like a 7-3 game. I'm going to take Houston, though. I think Hopkins could be a difference maker. I think the defense can really put the clamp down on either Hasselbeck or Whitehurst. I don't think Andrew Luck will play in this game, and I don't think he comes back unless there's still a shot that they're going to, or unless they have control of the division and they need to win. So I'm going to take Houston here.
I'm also going to take Houston. Their passing offense is just insane.
It's out of control right now.
Yeah, even without Hoyer, Yates came in and played pretty well against the Jets.
Did you know who Ryan Griffin was before this season?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
As much as I know, I didn't know who he was.
Ryan Griffin, CJ
Fedorowicz.
Yeah, Fedorowicz.
I knew of Fedorowicz, and I thought he would be the guy getting a majority of the snaps at tight end after Owen Daniels bounced. But, I mean, once again, like we were talking about with Jacksonville, Houston's got a bunch of guys coming out of the woodworks that are really starting to produce. Nate Washington, Cecil Shorts, Fedorowicz, and Griffin.
You might see a little bit more of Fedorowicz this weekend because Griffin dropped a bunch of key passes last weekend.
Definitely. All right, go to the next game.
Next game is the Carolina Panthers at the Giants.
Sorry, New York.
Yeah.
You can't bet against Carolina right now. I mean, I say it all the time with a bunch of teams. They're playing out of their minds right now. Ted Ginn had two catches for two touchdowns and like 150 yards.
Earlier this morning, you know, a lot of people were coming into the shop and saying how the Giants had a chance to beat Carolina. And the only thing I'm thinking in my head is, you guys have a game to play tonight, meaning Monday night. I said, you got to win that game first. Who cares about beating an undefeated team? You guys got to win this game Monday night to make the playoffs.
Short week, Giants are at home, but I don't think that matters, man. I really don't. Carolina, Cam Newton's going to tear apart that defense.
I think so.
And Norman's getting Odell Beckham. He did a pretty decent job against Julio. Held them out of the end zone.
Now, obviously, they were up big against Atlanta last week. Let's say they're up two scores. They're up 14 points going into the fourth quarter.
They keep them in.
Yeah?
They keep them in. It's got to be a huge...
No, not just Newton. Guys like Olsen and Stewart, who were a little banged up.
I don't think... They pulled Stewart. They pulled Olsen. They pulled Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly.
Thomas Davis got banged up on that one fumble recovery.
Yeah, and then Charles Johnson was pulled as well, and he actually was very critical of what the hell is the coach's name?
Ron Rivera,
Riverboat Ron. For some reason, shit like that slips my mind. Charles Johnson was very critical of Rivera pulling defensive starters at the end of the game.
Slips your mind, and I'm fucking filled with useless knowledge.
So am I, but different shit. Name a player, any player.
Thomas Davis.
He went to...
Gotcha. Next game up is Tennessee at New England.
Georgia Tech, I'm wrong.
Could be right. Tennessee at New England. This is another one of those games that makes me nervous going into Fantasy Week 15 because if New England's up 20 plus, do they take out guys who have had injury problems like Amendola and Gronkowski? Thomas Davis went to Georgia.
I know.
Close.
I was very close. So where were we? Tennessee at New England?
Yep.
Come on, no-brainer.
No, it's a no-brainer with the pick. It's just, you know, for
fantasy,
some of the listeners.
Fantasy football implications. Yep. If New England does go up big enough, do they pull...
guys like Amendola and Gronkowski,
exactly.
who've been injured recently.
And also, LeGarrette Blount was banged up.
LeGarrette
he left
Blount
the game. He didn't come back.
Hip. Yeah, he hurt
so
his hip.
So, do they even bother playing LeGarrette Blount this week? Do they roll with James White? Who else do they have at running back?
Brandon Bolden?
Yeah. You know, do they just go with those two guys? I would.
Well, I mean, you know the games that New England plays. All three guys at running back will probably suit up just so they don't have to sign another guy.
No, that you're right.
You know,
but they could move up a guy from like the practice squad or something.
But I mean, Blount had 10 carries for 58 yards on Sunday, which is good.
Before he went out,
which is good, but he just wasn't getting the work because of the injury. Blount's probably not a guy that you're starting anyway for fantasy.
Unfortunately, I had him in, and it almost cost me one of my games. Luckily,
but I mean, if you have Amendola and Gronkowski, you're not going to sit him. It just makes me nervous.
I actually sat Gronk this week for Chandler.
I did too.
And once again, it's another move that almost wound up costing me a game.
I sat Gronk for Eifert, and it almost cost me too. But with, you know, them playing the Sunday night game, you can't wait around.
Brandon Bolden, James White, and Tyler Gaffney are the three healthy running backs that they have right now. So you could see a scenario where Blunt is inactive and they move Gaffney up just to have depth and a possible special teams guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Bolden's their special teams guy.
Right, but if Bolden was inheriting more of a role, they might put Gaffney on the special teams. But yeah, so there could be a scenario where Blunt does sit out. Yeah, like I said, we're both taking New England there. Let's jump to the next 1 o'clock. We have two more 1 o'clocks left.
Buffalo at Washington. You know, both teams, huge playoff implications here. Buffalo still has an outside chance at a wild card.
Yeah, I think Buffalo would have to win outright.
They would, because their last game of the season is against the Jets, and the Jets currently have a wild card spot. Obviously, they would need other teams to lose. Pittsburgh, Kansas City.
Buffalo obviously plays Washington this week. Then they play Dallas and then the Jets in week 16.
And Kansas City beat Buffalo a couple weeks ago, so they hold the head-to-head tiebreaker. Washington, you know, obviously NFC East is wide open, so this is a bit huge game for them.
Quick side note, LeSean McCoy did something pretty cool. He had a big fan who was part of the Make-A-Wish from Philly, and he actually before the game met her in the tunnel, signed some stuff for her, got to hang out with her for a little bit. So it's nice to see a guy like McCoy, who's had all these problems off the field, you know, between him and Chip Kelly and the Eagles players and stuff like that, still being loyal to the fan base that he has in Philly. And he gave the owner a hug during the pregame warm-up, and I think he went to the middle of the field and kissed the Eagles logo and shit. So, you know, he's showing that there is a, you know, a person behind the met, you know, behind the pads and the helmet.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool for him to do that for a
fan.
It's
all about the kids.
Really, it is. You know, especially when it comes to like the Make-A-Wish stuff. The NFL does a really good job with that. Anyway, let's get back to the football part. McCoy might struggle in this game, but I love the way Tyrod Taylor's been playing. I like the idea that they're trying to get the ball to Sammy Watkins. I'm going to take Buffalo.
I'm going to take Washington.
Any specific reason?
I just think that Washington is going to go into this game more hungry. You know, I heard on the radio this week that Buffalo and Rex Ryan kind of already threw in the flag, saying that their season was over.
Also, just to keep in mind with Washington, and it's no surprise, DeSean Jackson's banged up, so that could have a huge implication there. But Mike's going to take Washington there. One more 1 o'clock game.
The last 1 o'clock game is Kansas City at Baltimore. Kansas City's just on fire, man. They've won their last 7 games. It's unreal.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kansas City. I think it's one of the longest winning streaks in the NFL, obviously, aside from fucking Carolina.
Yeah, right now it is. Second longest right now. Well, active.
Baltimore is going to have some problems. Ryan Mallett might be starting after only being with the team for like 3 or 4 days. So they're probably going to struggle on offense.
No, Baltimore's got Clawson, though.
Yeah, but Clawson played like god awful. Yeah, but you'd
play Clawson over a guy that's been there for 3 days.
I don't know, man.
He probably won't show up.
I would take Mallett over the guy Cokeave, man. So, yeah, we're both taking Kansas City there. We're going to jump into the 4 o'clock games after a word from our sponsors. Hey, everybody, if you like what you're hearing from the show, then make sure you show us some love. The next time you're going to buy something on Amazon, before you do, go to our website at ontheclockpodcast.com and click the Amazon banner. It doesn't cost you guys anything, but we get credit for the referral, and it helps us keep the show on the air. I know Iron Mike's been doing a ton of shopping through Amazon. I bought a bunch of stuff off of Amazon, and anybody who I know is buying anything online, telling them to do it through our website, ontheclockpodcast.com. Click the Amazon banner. Like we said, it's helping us keep this podcast running, and we want to give you guys the best show we could possibly give you. So please help us out and do that for us. Once again, that's ontheclockpodcast.com. Amazon.com, click the Amazon banner. All right, so for the listeners of the On the Clock podcast, Audible is giving away a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial just to check out their service. They have titles such as The Girl on the Train, The Hobbit, Divergent, Lean In, The Book Thief, and Crush It, Why Now is the Time to Cash in Your Passion. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/ontheclock. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/ontheclock for your free audiobook and 30-day trial. And we're back. Let's jump right into the 4 o'clock games, Mike.
First up is the Cleveland Browns at the Seattle Seahawks.
Once again, another no-brainer here. Seattle's been hot. We talked about how well Russell Wilson's playing. Cleveland's struggling. They just lost Joe Hayden for the year. I think it's a landslide.
Yeah, Seattle's one of the hotter teams in the league right now.
They did just lose Thomas Rawls, but I think with the combo of Bryce Brown, Fred Jackson, they have a good combination of ground and pound type of stuff. You know what I mean? Where Fred Jackson can come and catch the ball out of the backfield, and Bryce Brown could be a bruising kind of running back. So nothing else really to talk about there.
No, not this week. Green Bay at Oakland is up next.
Oakland barely snuck one out in Denver. Green Bay's been hot. Eddie Lacy came back in a big way this week. I think Green Bay can continue the streak of playing for the division.
Green Bay hasn't been hot. They've been winning, but they haven't been hot.
Regardless, I'll take Green Bay.
I'm going to take Oakland. I just don't see Green Bay as a really good team this year.
Yeah, I thought they would play better than they have been. Like I said, they barely squeaked one out against Denver, and Denver's a good team, don't get me wrong. But Osweiler didn't play that well. His receivers dropped a bunch of passes. They muffed a punt, right?
Yeah, they did. And that's
part Emmanuel of why Sanders muffed it.
That's part of the reason why Oakland won that game.
I will say, very impressive season so far from Khalil Mack. He had 5 sacks in the game on the second half.
Yeah, he was unstoppable in the second half.
Beast. And Denver, I mean, well, Denver's line's been banged up, but, you know, that's impressive. 5 sacks in one half.
Yeah.
I think he was a franchise, or he's the first Oakland player to have 5 sacks in a game since Howie Long. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So I'm taking Green Bay there. Mike's taking Oakland. Let's jump to the next game.
Next game is Denver at Pittsburgh.
Another game with playoff implications because Pittsburgh's on the outside looking in. And now Denver's fighting for the division.
Yeah, and with Dalton going down, this opens the door for Pittsburgh to win the division.
2 weeks ago, did you think that my prediction of Kansas City winning the division could ever happen? They were still on a pretty hot streak, but it looked like Denver was going to run the division, and now they're only, what, 2 games off? And if Denver plays the way they did last week against Pittsburgh, they're not going to win the game.
No, and it helps that the game's not in Denver.
I'm taking Pittsburgh here.
I'm going to take Denver to try and catch up to you.
I mean, you have to do it.
I think Pittsburgh wins, but I'm going to take Denver.
You have to do it. I just think, I mean, listen, Denver's defense is amazing.
Catch up, Heinz Field.
I think Denver's defense is amazing, but with Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton, Antonio Brown, D'Angelo Williams,
it's not going to be easy for Pittsburgh.
No, but if there's a team that could do it and they know they need to, I would take Pittsburgh in a must-win game over a lot of teams in the NFL right now.
Yeah, their offense is ridiculous right now.
And, I mean, we say it every week, but the Steelers' defense has been playing pretty well.
Well, you know, on paper, statistically, it shows last week because they had that pick six, but that was just a bad move on.
Can we talk about the touchdown dance after that?
What's his name?
Who?
AJ
Green?
No, the quarterback.
McCarron.
Yeah, it was just a bad pass. That touchdown celebration was a little excessive, though.
Well, I think what happened was once he saw the flag, he said, fuck it, I'm going to get fined anyway, so I might as well just let it go. He wound up crawling on the floor for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. I think he got flagged 3 times for that.
All the refs just ran over and threw the flags at him. Yeah. Did you see? I don't remember what game it was, but there was a flag thrown on the play.
Khalil Mack
caught the flag.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive as well.
Yeah.
Better than getting hit in the eye with a flag and being out for the rest of the year, which has happened before.
Yes. Which is why they made the flags lighter.
Is that a fact?
Yes, they used to be heavier.
All right. You learn something new every day, guys. This is why you need to be listening to us. So, all right. I'm taking Pittsburgh. Mike's taking Denver. Let's try to fly through the next few.
All right. Miami at San Diego.
I'm going to take Miami here. It's a West Coast game, but Miami did impress me a little bit with the way they played against the Giants. They had a few key drops late in the game that wound up costing them the game, and Jarvis Landry had a costly, unnecessary roughness penalty after a broken up pass. He threw a safety after the whistle was blown dead. So that was something that cost them a bunch of yards, which could have, you know, put them in better position to score. San Diego's not good.
San Diego has been better over the last 3-4 weeks than they were in the first half of the season, but two of the last three games they've played against Kansas City, who's one of the hotter teams in the
Touché.
League right now.
Touché.
I think Miami has a tough time going out west and winning this game.
And it's a short week too. I like the way Miami's been playing. I think the defense is coming around. So
I do too, but I gotta try and make up some ground.
All right, next 4 o'clock.
The last 4 o'clock is Cincinnati at San Fran. Even with Andy Dalton out, Tyler Eifert.
I think you're going to see a heavy dose of
the running game.
The running game. Yeah. I'll take Cincy.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sorry, San Fran. You got to give up. And my buddy Dan Soder, who I got to hang out with today at the YKWD podcast and over at Sirius Radio, funny guy. Make sure you guys check him out. But he's a huge Niners fan. We talked about them today. I don't see them winning another game for the rest of the year. Even though they've been pulling out a few impressive wins, I think they're done. Let's jump to Sunday Night Football.
Arizona at Philly. Arizona wins here. They lock up the division.
Yeah, I'm taking Arizona. Philly needs this game to stay in contention for the division, too. I don't think it matters.
Not necessarily.
I don't think it matters.
Not necessarily. They're a game back, right?
Yeah, there is scenarios where they could lose this game and still win the division.
Yeah, because that division is awful.
This might be... Nah, I lied, because there was that year that the Saints hosted the game, right? Or was it the Seahawks? Hosted a home game with a sub-500 record and won.
It's happened before.
And the Panthers did it last year. They won a game with a sub-500 record. They won a playoff game.
They had the tie.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, Arizona's too good, man. And Philly's pass defense is abysmal. So I'm going to take Arizona here. I think Palmer is probably going to win comeback player of the year. And this could be a game that puts him right back in the middle of conversation for MVP. Anything to add?
I agree, but
let me just tell you, you are making for exhilarating podcasting right now.
Yeah, it's tough. I've been up for almost 24 hours straight right now.
All right, let's jump to the last Monday Night Football, the last game, Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football, Detroit at New Orleans.
Is this the dumpster fire game of the week?
No, I think this is going to be an exciting game.
Yeah, it could be a high scorer.
Wishful thinking.
Because, it could be a high scorer.
Because I got to start Stafford this week.
I actually have both of them on my team.
I have both of them on separate teams.
No, I have both of them on one team.
Yeah.
What would you do in that scenario?
But you can't. I'd play Breeze.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Even though New Orleans has the worst defense in the league.
Yeah. They've been playing better lately.
Would you play either of them or Tyrod Taylor?
I would play Breeze.
That's probably going to be what cost me a trip to the championship.
See, now in years past, I've told myself once the fantasy season ends, I'm never taking Drew Brees again because he always finds a way to fuck you in the fantasy playoffs. But his last two games in the fantasy playoffs are at home.
I got him as a throw-in in a trade. I got him, Jimmy Graham, and Seattle's defense for Dez Bryant when Dez Bryant was hurt. Also, I'll note that my other receivers are Jordan Matthews, Odell Beckham, Amari Cooper, and at one point Julian Edelman. So, you know, I could have afforded to get rid of Dez, but I'm probably gonna start Stafford there. Give me Detroit.
I'm gonna take New Orleans. Like I said, Drew Brees at home. I'm feeling it. Hopefully he does well. So, pulling up DraftKings.
Yeah, that's going to do it for the week 15 picks. Before we leave you guys, I want to talk about the DraftKings contest for this week. I finished in 7th place.
I need to start doing Adium again before these shows.
I finished in 7th place. Just to note, our buddy Ryan finished in 6th place. Marcy cashed again. And the big winner this week, who would have seen it coming? He finished in dead last a few weeks ago, Kenny Davis. So congrats to Kenny. Takes home $31.50. We'll see if we have an extra shirt for you. Otherwise, the $31 should be enough. But yeah, congrats to two of our listeners. I think it's the first time all season that two listeners have finished in the top two.
Two listeners that we know of.
Yeah, yeah. We encourage you guys to keep playing. So, and
we're gonna have some exciting news at the end of this regular season
about DraftKings tournament for next year.
About DraftKings tournament for next year, if we still have a show next year.
We'll have a show
hopefully,
next year.
Hopefully we do.
We'll have a show next year.
I like talking about football.
Iron Mike, you didn't have an entry this week.
No, I tried to get in there. And
they've been filling up pretty quick, so...
No, I tried on Thursday, and it didn't let me get in.
Here's what I will say before we end it. If you guys are listening to the show, make sure you check the Facebook page as soon as the... as soon as the podcast is released, because I've been trying to wait until the podcast gets released before I create the tournament, that'll allow us to get more of the fans in. So check it out. As soon as the podcast drops, go to the Facebook page and the link will be posted for the DraftKings tournament. And we've been having a lot of fun with it, man.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been pretty fun to see, you know, even like I said this week where our buddy Kenny, who's been, you know, who's finished dead last before, wins a tournament.
I think multiple times.
Yeah.
Anybody could win.
Yeah, make sure you guys are following the fan page on Facebook. You're on the Clock Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, You're on the Clock. I'm on Twitter at @Matt_Geiger. Iron Mike is on Twitter at @Iron_Mike_NJ. And make sure you guys pop over to the Lineup Media Group where we have a ton of great podcasts out. The Let's Get It On podcast is an MMA podcast with UFC referee Big John McCarthy. We have the NHL podcast at NHL.com, Chasing Pucks with Panger. I've been listening to it, and I'll be the first one to admit I'm not a huge hockey fan, but it's really interesting to get a perspective of a professional athlete. And guys that were really good at what they were doing. And there's a ton of other great content out there, so make sure you guys go check out Lineup Media Group. Make sure you check out the You Know What Dude podcast. I had a guest appearance on their holiday episode. I had a ton of fun out there. Thanks to those guys once again. They showed me a great time. Hopefully I'll be able to get back on there soon. That's going to do it for the You're on the Clock podcast. Hopefully this time next week I'm talking about playing in a few championships and not about how I almost won or won by 1 point.
Winning is winning, whether it's an inch or a mile.
All right, Friday Night Lights.
Fast and the Furious.
That's going to do it. We'll talk to you guys next week.
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger. Download the show and link to our social media accounts at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man Behind the 8 Ball, and more.